Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode.
To the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily News. I'm here with my boys, Duke and Mailman. How y'all guys doing? How y'all fellas doing right now?
What's up?
We good. I got my drinking utensil. Let's get it on.
All right. We got a couple topics that are near and dear to us. Start off today with a tweet that I came across on social media, and we're just going to talk about it, man. Let's see how everyone feels about it. The tweet is from Hayden Dawes. He's a mental health advocate. So the tweet goes as follows. People can simultaneously know you're enough and need more of you. I thought that was a very insightful tweet, an insightful message. I'm going to give you guys my opinion. This is just my interpretation of it. Hopefully we can get him on and give his opinion on this tweet. Because, man, it was very insightful and it was a very deep tweet. I think it's the idea of who you are as a person. Whatever it is you do in life, whether it be your work, your relationship, or just your life in general. When people can say you are enough for me and still want more from you, it's the idea of a relationship, or that's how I first looked at it. You could be in a relationship with someone where they know this is the person I'm going to be with for the rest of my life and still ask you to be a better person. You see what I mean? To say that, oh, no, this is enough for what I need from you, but I still need you to do more. Whether it be in a relationship, whether it be in work, whether it be in life, or whatever the case may be. Once you have achieved the point of people where they are happy with who you are and they can accept that, they sometimes get to this point where, oh, I can accept it, but now life is too calm. It's too calm. So let's see if I can get more. That ego, that urge to want more from something where it's like, oh, I got a 50-inch TV. All right, bet. A year from now, I'm going to need a 70-inch TV. That's enough. That 50-inch TV is enough for me at the time, but I still want more. And this is different because it's not about objects or things in life. It's about people wanting more from you. Whereas if they can accept you for who you are and still, for some reason, want you to be a better person or want more from you, whether it be being a better person or just want you to do something more than you already do.
Is that what he's saying, though? See, this is my thing with that. I think it's a little bit vague. You know what I mean? Like, I understand the concept and the notion that he's trying to convey, but I still, in order for me to make an astute opinion about, you know what I'm saying, what he's saying, or because I don't want to put words in his mouth, like, you know what I mean? I don't want to say that it's about something that is really not, that's not what he intended it to be about. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think it's a little bit too vague for me to try to dive into.
Well, it's a very vague statement in itself, but it's not about what he meant to say, because I think he meant it to be vague on purpose. It's more as how do you interpret or apply it to it?
That, I don't know. For me, that just sounds like somebody that sounds more to me like somebody who is using you personally. Because if they know that you're enough but and they still want more, what do you need more for?
If you're talking already about a relationship stance, right?
If I'm already enough, why do you need more? How much more of me can I give you if I'm giving you all of me?
And what are you giving me in return?
And if what I'm giving you is already enough, you know what I'm saying? How do you get more out of enough? You can't squeeze blood from a turnip. It don't work that way.
Like, if you want to go deeper into it, you can go as far as being like, okay, this person knows that you're enough, but they need more for you. So what are they lacking? Why do they need more? Is this person having an issue with their self-esteem? Or is this person having an issue with their confidence? Why do they need more from me if you already know I'm giving you everything, or you already know that I'm more than enough already?
I totally get it. In a relationship stance, I think I see where this happens, like from a personal standpoint. The goalpost for what is enough keeps being moved. Again, this is just an example, and I'm not talking about a friend or just talking about an acquaintance of mine who was with someone, and that person was just doing guy stuff, not doing the dishes, take his clothes off when he gets off work and throwing them on the floor and things like that. And it was a constant, well, if he doesn't straighten up, I'm going to leave him. Like, you want to leave him over something as small as that? Yeah, I'm going to leave him with something over small as that. And then they'd have an argument. She'd tell him, he'd change, and there'd be something else that he's not doing. Mm-hmm. Something else that he needs to improve on. Oh, well, he did the dishes, but he's not putting them away right. He's not doing them right. You know, there's always...
To me, that sounds like somebody that's fighting something internally at that time. Mm-hmm. And it's being portrayed onto you. Projected. Because they upset, projected onto you, because there's something going on with them that either A, they can't deal with or aren't ready to deal with at that time. And it comes out in other ways. It comes out in, this is how I feel about myself, but I'm gonna put that on you because that's gonna give me the same feeling. So instead of me looking inside on how I can fix how I'm feeling, I'm gonna put that on you.
Type of person that want to try to put their insecurities or things like that and hold somebody else responsible for their insecurities. That's kind of what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. It just goes back to that book that I was talking about. There's reactive thinkers, which the majority of people are reactive thinkers, and there's proactive thinkers. When you're a reactive thinker, you are reacting to whatever happened to you negatively. And so you give into that and you create that narrative that, oh, I can't do this or I can't move past this because this is what happened to me. Where if you're a proactive thinker, you're like, okay, this is what happened. I'll deal with it. I'm going to move forward from it. Mm-hmm. So that just goes back to that book that I've been talking about now for a couple different episodes now. So it's, like I said, it's
Steps to Success, right?
Yeah, it's The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey. Yes. And that's one of the habits he talks about. It's the habit two that we've been focusing on for the last couple episodes. You know, it's basically taking accountability that no matter what happened to you, you're going to move forward from it. And obviously, there's some things that you're going to move forward from faster than other things. So it's not saying automatically you're like, oh, shit, this just happened to me. Let me just ignore it and move on, because that's not dealing with it either. Mm-hmm. You still have to deal with it, process it, and then say, okay, I'm not going to let this stop me from getting to whatever my goal is, whether that be a personal goal or whether that be a goal in your professional life. And I just feel like that statement pulls into that as well too.
When I became a single dad and I had those conversations with my dad about, all right, what's next? You got to figure out a game plan. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. And I remember when after like a couple months, and I think I talked to you guys about this, even dating, you know what I mean? One of the first things that I was looking for as far as dating wise, when I started, well, at that point in time, I couldn't have a woman that needed any help from me. And not because I'm selfish or anything like that. It's because of the idea that regardless of the reason why I'm in this situation, I did not feel like I had a solid career at my age. And I have a daughter and I'm the only one that's here to provide for it. And so I have to focus on that. Don't get me wrong. Knowing my story, yes, there's reasons on why I was in the situation that I was. And I don't, second guess that. I don't regret it at all. But at the same token, I'm not going to look at it like, oh man, I'm here because of this, that, and third. It's more like, no, I'm grown and I have to take and no longer look at that and look at what's next, what I have to do to get to where I need to be. And so
that's exactly what he's talking about. Exactly what he's talking about. No matter what happened to you, you processed it and you're like, okay, I'm going to use it to fuel me to become, to do the things that I need to do for my kid.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he's talking about. That thinking, because you could have easily went the other way and be like, oh, woe is me. This is what happened. I love her to death. so on and so forth. But you took that and made it a positive and started thinking proactively instead of reactively.
And I remember thinking to myself, like, I remember having that conversation like years before everything happened with her and her sister. Cause I remember her sister was like, there was a game plan on if you couldn't, right? If you couldn't take these steps forward, she set up a plan just in case. But everyone had the idea that news isn't going to stop. That news has this, we've set this plan in motion. When, if this outcome happens, you have to, once you get it together, go keep going forward and figure out the next step. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. Like the tweet says, the idea of it not being enough, I think, is the common flaw in it. It's like, yeah, you are enough, but people want more. Well, then am I enough?
It's hard for me to grasp my head around this topic, because maybe I think little. Enough is enough. If you say that person is enough for you, then what more do you need from them? You know what I mean? And what aspect are you talking about? This is what I mean when I said I don't want to speak for him and automatically assume I know what he's talking about, because I don't. And I don't understand what he means. Do you need more from them sexually? Do you need more of them financially? Do you need more of them emotionally? Like, what do you need more out of if they are enough? It's too generic. It's not specific enough.
I think that's the whole point. He wants you to think about it, and he wants you to think what your definition of, if someone said that to you, what would your reaction be to that? Would they be talking about, you know, like you just said, financially, or would they be talking about emotionally, or would they be talking about their ass, you know, just right. to just at that point to want to make you feel a certain kind of way? I think that's the point. I think that's why he worded it the way that he worded it, for you to go in all different, you know, avenues and separate ways and trying to figure out what that statement means to you, because it means something different to all of us. To everyone, that statement would mean something different to, for the most part.
Right.
It's just a matter of how you apply it to your current situation and your personal situation. And
right.
Whereas with me, it was just, I took it as that way, and Duke took it as another way. It is,
I don't understand the logic.
Yeah. Oh, but that's the point. That's exactly the point.
But it is a good question.
Well, it's not a question, it's a statement.
That's a question.
Out of me if I'm enough.
Like,
that's the question.
I think it's a question, whether it be your career, whether it be your relationship, your family, your friends. If there's a situation where there's like, they're constantly asking you to do more and change more and be more effective and be better or be stronger, whatever the case may be, you can ask them flat out, am I enough for you? Think about with jobs, right? How many times do you see a manager ask the best employee to do more?
All the damn time.
All the time, because they have this mentality. It's like, yeah, you're doing great. You're absolutely what this company needs. Can I ask you to do me a favor and adjust these spreadsheets or rearrange
that goes back to what Duke said. That now it sounds like they're using you. Well, yeah. I know this guy's going to give me 150%, and there's other people here, but I'm going to ask for more out of the one person that I'm getting the most out of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can look at it as a relationship.
It's like trying to drain a motherfucker dry. Can take from a person till they ain't going to have nothing left for their damn self.
You can see it in relationship-wise too, where you see men and women say, hey, listen, you know what? You're exactly who I want to be with. You're exactly the person I want in my life. We've been together 5-10 years. I need you to be a better person now. I need you to treat me better. I need you to do better. Even though this is the same way you've been treated.
Then I'm not all those things that you just said I was.
Exactly. That's why I say this is a question to kind of take and absorb, because now you can look at everything in life and be like, hey, am I enough? Now, granted, I'm not looking at that towards me, because I know I am enough, because my mentality is always pushing forward. But there are some people where it's, are you enough? Am I enough?
I was going to say, now to play devil's advocate, though, that also could be read that because you are enough, because you are exactly what I need, I trust you to be able to ask more of you or whatever it is, whether that be, I need you to be here for me right now, because right now I need that support. So it just, again, it just kind of depends.
Yes. It could go, what you're doing is right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just need more of that rightness, you know what I mean, in mm-hmm. my life. It could be that, be going mm-hmm. that way as well, you know what I mean? And I thought about that too, but I was having trouble trying to articulate what I was saying, you know what I mean?
I was looking at it as like, news, you're just what I need. We need more from you as like a work sense, because then I'm like, oh, okay, so that means y'all need to
see,
pay
that's
me.
What... see, that's where those words kind of throw me out. More from mm-hmm. you or more of you. You know what I'm saying? Because more from you means you need to be doing more. More of you means that I want to spend more time. All the things that you're doing, you know what I'm saying? I want more of that. I'm not saying you're not doing enough, but I just want more of it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I like what you're doing. I like how you're putting it down. I need some more of that. You know what I mean? Like,
I see what you're talking about. I see that as like a sense of like that mentality you have, that whatever it is that you're doing, that's great. I need that in my life. That's what I want.
I need like more of that. You know what I mean? That's what I like, simultaneously be enough and need more of you. Like, you know what I mean? Is that where he was going with that? Mm-hmm. Is that where we're going with that? Like, or is you enough? You know what I'm saying? But, or do I need you more?
I think it's as Duke says, a two-edged sword.
The answer is yes.
That's
what it means.
Say both of those.
Yeah. He means that, exactly. That's the point. The answer is yes to all to everything that we just said. That's the answer. That's exactly what that person was going for. He wants you to think. He wants to open your mind up and think about, well, damn, what does that mean? Break that down into sections and fucking calculate that bitch and then spit it out.
To our listeners, let's get your opinion. If you guys want to tweet us, Facebook, people can simultaneously know you're enough and need more from you. What does that mean to you? We'd love to hear from you.
I'm really interested to hear some feedback on this one, guys. Mm-hmm. There's so many different ways you can go with that. I just want to know how they're going to side with that. Which line are you going to fall on?
Don't be scared.
I love our fans, man. I just do. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we will be right back. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. On our second topic today, we came across a video about the steps to being successful. Obviously, everyone has these different ideas of how to get to success, but this video came across my social media feed and it was talking about the first step to success. And I want to play it for everyone and play it to the fellas and get their opinions on it. So the video is made by a man named Kevin at Seven. He's a real estate agent and a public speaker.
All right, K7, show me what you got.
Kevin at Seven, where we help you find your superpowers in your business and in your life. And today I want to talk about the first step to all success. Now, I'm assuming you're watching this, you want to be successful. The very first step to all success is you have to own your success. You have to take it as your responsibility. If it is to be, it is up to me. You've heard that before, right? If it is to be, it is up to me. You have to take responsibility for your success, which also means you have to take responsibility for your failures. So when things don't go right, you can't blame somebody else or something else. You can't blame it on the market. You can't blame it on other agents. You can't blame it on competition. You can't blame it on your broker. You can't blame it on your family, your past, your money, your lack of money, your age, your gender, you can't play the victim if you want success. Because the moment you play the victim, the moment you try to blame someone else, you immediately give up your power by giving up your ability to do something about it. The moment you blame it on someone else, you are subconsciously saying, I can't control it. Something outside of me and outside of my power controls it. Even if it is the fault of someone else, there's no help power for you in putting it on them. You got to say, like, okay, if I'm going to fix this, it's up to me. What do I have to do to succeed? What do I have to do to make this right? What do I have to do to get the results I want? What do I have to do to achieve the goals in my life? If you want massive success, it starts with you. You own it, you claim it, you take responsibility for it, and you go get your dream.
I like his music. I do. Like, he
I mean,
that's what you got from that.
Well, listeners, y'all can't really see the video, but for a white guy with that bass in his music, and that was dope.
Oh my god. Hey,
you wouldn't expect somebody like that to be bumping something in the speaker. But anyway,
yeah, you would.
Kevin at Seven, man. How do you guys feel about what he had to say about that first step to being successful?
Go ahead, Melman.
I like when he said that you own your success. You know what I mean? You say that it's on me. You take accountability for, you know what I'm saying, being successful by telling yourself that I'm going to make this happen no matter what. No matter what obstacle stands in your way, I'm going to do that. You know what I'm saying? As far as the business aspect, I like that. But to say that outside influences don't have an effect on your business, I don't think that is an accurate or fair and accurate statement. You can have all your ducks line up in a row, you know what I mean, and have the best plan and all the enthusiasm you want to push something out and try to put something out there. He's right that you shouldn't let anything stop you from being successful, but, you know, saying be aware that there may be roadblocks that you come across, but don't get discouraged by them. I think that's how I would have said that.
Well, that's exactly what he's talking about when he said you got to own your failures too. Right. That goes again, like the same thing that I hate keep bringing up.
Yeah, that book, going back to the same book.
Thing. Yep. Everything that we're talking about relates to that book right now.
And this is uncoincidental. Like, we didn't plan this out. Like, I messaged y'all yesterday. Was like, hey, these are the topics. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, all right, look, I'm reading again.
Well, that's the thing that's crazy about it is since I've been reading the book, I can see things clearer. I can understand and I can relate to it and be like, damn, okay, I see exactly what Stephen is talking about in the book, because that's exactly what this person had said. What was his name? K7. That's what K7 was talking
Kevin
about.
Kevin at Seven.
Yeah, there you go. K7.
Calling him K7 now, goddamn.
That's what K7. It's the same thing, you know. That's exactly what he's saying. He's like, you can't, like, yes, like you said, Melman, they do play a part in it. But what he's saying, that even if it fails, don't let that stop you. Okay, yeah, that may mean that lane might not be open to you right now, but let's motherfucker open up another lane. It's more than one lane on the highway.
Yeah.
And that's for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
Basically just saying what he said in a different way.
By the time you got to the end, you got to the same destination that he was at. In the beginning, I think you guys were a little different because you were talking about how things can affect that. And that goes back to that reactive and proactive thinking, that no matter what happened to you or might not have happened the way that you want it to happen, instead of being reactive and letting it stop you, you're going to find a different route, or you're going to find another lane to go down to make that one more successful than the one that you were just down.
Yeah. Right, because I always have like a backup plan for my plan. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. I believe you always expect the unexpected. You don't exactly know what is going to happen when you start a venture. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. You can plan and make all the plans that you want to, but mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Sometimes things just don't go as planned. So you got to have a backup plan for your plan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hardly ever anything goes the way that you have planned.
Yeah.
You learn that, you know, as a parent, you learn that shit because you like, yeah, my kid going to be like this and he going to be doing that. And that little motherfucker goes the exact opposite. You're like, oh,
absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Right. A prime example. Someone special to me said the other day, you guys know about this, but our listeners don't. I was looking into opening a business not too long ago. I'm not going to get into the specifics of the business, but I was trying to do it the right way, the legal way, getting, you know, all the ramifications and legal documentation and all this stuff in and looking at how to open the business. And then this person messaged me a Facebook post of someone in the area that opened a very, very similar business. And it just crushed me, man. I was just like, did they really just steal my idea? Like, I don't know the person, but I'm just like, yo, man, I just had this, man. I was just, man, this was no one in this area had this idea, this business. And all of a sudden, this person pop up with a similar business. I'm like, come on, man. This
thickens me. Do we need to break his leg?
Yeah, we might
go visit him.
Make a house call on this, right? Phone,
right?
We got you. But whatever you are, we coming.
Yeah. Get ready.
Right.
But that go ahead and proceed.
Like, as soon as like I got to the point where I was just like feeling down about it, that person was like, oh, it's okay, because you're gonna have competition. That's part of it. They were just flat out straight to it. And I was like, you are absolutely right. You know what I mean? I don't know why I thought this was gonna be easy, starting a business and thinking no one was gonna compete with it. Right. Mm. So right. Who was it? I forget who said it, they can start the same business as you, but they don't have me. They don't have me behind the brain. So that's going to be the difference in factor. So I'm still
The problem was me, because I got that mentality of, goddamn, it don't matter what it is. If I decide to touch it, it's going to be successful, goddamn. Right. Because I put my motherfucking stamp on that shit, goddamn. And right. I don't put my stamp on some shit to let it fucking fail. Yeah, I'm just not going to do it.
Exactly.
That's my mentality right there.
It wasn't you that said it, but it was.
But that is your mentality. I'm stealing that credit. No.
You can take it.
You couldn't find nobody else to take it. I decided I would.
They would put their business out there. Just the idea of being successful, taking that first step. It's a mentality. It's a mental thing about, like you said, owning your success, owning your failures, owning the idea that success is all in your hands. You're going to come with obstacles, but still overcoming that obstacle falls on your shoulders. So
I started a business and it was successful.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
COVID a motherfucker.
It is.
You're a small business owner. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of other small business
owners. I saw a statement not too long ago about business owners who started a business in COVID. That COVID gave the ability for people to figure out a way to hustle. A lot of people left the workforce, started their own business online, making t-shirts and selling stuff and sending stuff, or OnlyFans or whatever it is that you do. It was like, if you can't hustle in a time where the government is giving you free money.
Yeah, well, a lot of them PPP loans, they coming back for that now.
So oh, yeah.
Hopefully
oh, yeah.
you had yeah. a legitimate business.
Right. I was about to say, you know,
you're talking about Uncle Sam want that money back.
Yeah, J-Rock Need a New Car LLC is not a legitimate business. So let's just put that out there. I hate to say this. There's a person I know who knows a person who knows a person who, during a pandemic, they worked under the table and still collected unemployment. They collected over $100,000 as far as income and unemployment. And you're still broke. I hate to say it, but you are failing.
Hold on, News. I think you talking about the guy that that did this?
The guy that did this.
He's not winning at life?
No, he is not winning at life at all. If you collect unemployment for a whole year with the boost that they got during the pandemic, and you have a good job paying you under the table type money, and you bring home over $100,000 a year that year, and you are still broke,
what that sounds like?
What?
That's nose candy.
I got an addiction like a motherfucker. Right?
It's only two things usually. If it's a dude, it's two things that all that money gonna go to. It's either going up his nose or he's spending it on a woman. Yes. That's usually what the case is. Growing up, that's what I was taught by some of the OGs. They like, he make this sort of money and he ain't got nothing, they going to two things. He either is going up his nose or he giving it to some female or dude, whatever your case.
Yeah.
Right.
You
know?
Whichever way you swing, you know what I'm saying?
Usually that's what it is.
Yeah, well, after that, he ain't got no woman no more. So obviously it wasn't going to her. So you might be right.
But they call it booger sugar.
The booger sugar,
booger sugar.
Nose candy, white girl. Yeah, that Ike Turner.
Yeah, y'all.
Twa,
that twin, nigga.
To all listeners, don't do drugs. Stay away. Keep your head on right.
To all our listeners, do drugs.
Not listening. I saw a video the other day about this guy talking to his son about how his son had these people come to school and was talking about how drugs are how expensive they are and what they do to you. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. And he was like, yeah. And he's like, so what did you learn? He's like, yeah, I can't wait to do drugs. I'm trying to crack right off the back. This will be awesome. He's like, no, that's not what he's supposed to do. I've never done drugs. Always because I hear some crazy stories that scare me away from the stuff.
I've seen some shit, yeah, though, too. You know what I'm saying? That'll make you not ever want to fucking do some of this shit they got out there.
I had a friend who said he did shrooms for the first time in his friend's house. And his friend had a picture of Indians sitting next to a fire. And he said after like 5 minutes of doing shrooms, the Indians started standing up and dancing around the fire in the picture. And he said he freaked out. And so he ran outside. It was like, oh, man, I got to collect myself. Let me smoke a cigarette. So he sits on the porch. He smokes a cigarette. His friend's like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, yeah, I think I'm good. He flicks the cigarette, but it falls in slow motion onto the ground. And the ground explodes when the cigarette like hits the ground, starting in a small fire, and then little ran out of the grass and started dancing. He said he blacked out and woke up in the hospital. I will blame you for this one, mailman.
Here we go.
Yep. Listen. There was one time you came over and he was like, hey, I got some edibles. Remember? I don't know if you remember, okay? I didn't have any. I ain't have any. The missus at the time had half of one, was like, I feel like this is way too strong for me. So she gave some to a friend, gave him two. He was like, okay, cool. He had one edible and was like, okay, I'm going to have the other one when I get home. He called us 45 minutes later after he left the house, saying, on my way home, I became one with the steering wheel. And I was turning my whole body with the steering wheel because I was so high. It took him 45 minutes to get home. He lives 3 blocks away. 45 minutes. There was no turns. It's a straight shot to his crib. It's downhill.
You got to be careful with them edibles, man. Like, you don't.
I ain't trying to take no spiritual journey anytime soon. I'm good on that.
I'm with the spiritual journeys, though. I'm with that. I'm trying to be more spiritual.
Nope, yeah. You're going to have me kissing frogs and stuff, so I'm good. On that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back with our third topic, our third segment today.
And this week in Wretched News.
All right.
What we got this week?
Daily News is bringing this news article out. Florida.
Hold up. Why does all the fucked up shit always happen in Florida?
Because they're crazy. That's why.
Motherfuckers are crazy. The last one was something happened in Florida too?
It might have been, yeah.
When the chick stabbed her boyfriend, wasn't that in Florida too?
We love people from Florida. We love all our Florida listeners.
We do. Hear some crazy stories out of Florida. Florida, y'all is on the map.
All right. Well, this Florida woman was accused of slugging girlfriend after she slept talk about her ex. A Florida woman was arrested for allegedly slugging her girlfriend in the face after hearing her sleep talk about an ex, a report says. Alexi Talley, 23, woke up her 21-year-old girlfriend after the sleep talking episode and told her that she was talking in her sleep about an ex, according to an arrest report obtained by the Smoking Gun. The two started arguing inside a Tampa Bay area apartment late on June 13th. And a few escalated when Talley allegedly socked the victim in the face. The victim suffered swelling from the right side of her face, police said. Talley admitted to a verbal fighting with her girlfriend, but denied hitting her. According to cops, police arrested Talley and charged her with domestic battery.
That sounds like some Ike Turner shit.
Right? I'm sitting over here trying to keep...
Word is born. That sounds like some Ike Turner shit.
Now, this is what bugs me.
Hold up. Have y'all ever been with a girlfriend and she woke up with you mad as fuck because of the dream that she had? You know, saying that you were cheating on her. Don't this sound like some shit like that?
That's what it is.
Exactly what it is.
She was dreaming about an ex.
Shit out of
her. Listen. It's a dream, bitch.
You know what I found interesting about this story?
right? Wow. There are some people that are listening to this story and be like, I can't believe someone would hit a woman after having a dream. Like, that is so wrong. And there are some women out there that is like, no, if my man was talking about his ex's history, yeah, he deserved what he did.
I done had it happen. Well, I didn't get hit, but she was mad at my ass all damn day long, too. I was like, but I didn't even do what you said I did in your dream. Yeah. Like, I didn't even do that. How you gonna get mad at me for something I did in your dream? Yeah. That's just bonkers to me.
My wife got rest of soul. There was one moment when we were dating. She came over and fell asleep on my bed. And I woke her up. I was like, hey, listen, this is a queen size bed. You only give me like a foot of a room to lay down. Like, I woke up in the middle of the night with my leg hanging off my own damn bed. I was like, hey, can you move over? She rolled over, looked me dead in the face, and was looking up and down. Was like, you selfish son of a bitch. And then just rolled over. Like, I didn't just ask her to move. We were dating. I can kick you out at this point. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, I shut the shit out of her. You can move the fuck over.
Fuck over. Give me some cat. Hey, that's like fighting over the cover or some shit. Like, you gonna give me some fucking cover.
It wasn't matter about the cover. I'm like, the bed. It's like, I'm sorry. If I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and my legs hanging off the bed, and then you gonna look at me like I'm a selfish son of a bitch, and No. Scoop.
Hey, and she's thin as hell too. So, like, how much of a bed does she need?
I know. Hey, no damn sense. And it wasn't like, don't get me wrong. I know some women will like try to cuddle with you, and they like lay on top of you, and they keep moving closer to you, and that's what pushes you off the bed. No, right, she had a right. back towards me and was like bumping me off the bed more and more.
My bed, motherfucker.
Yeah. You could fit two other people on the other side of that bed. Why? Like, I don't know.
Well, that's the same thing with their dream. How you gonna slug somebody for talking about something in their damn dream? You know what I mean? Like it's reality, like it actually happened or something. I don't know. And then go to the park to physically attack them for it, like you're doing the most.
I actually understand. Getting
or in the words of Dolly, baby, she out of pocket.
Yep. I will give women credit that if someone's talking to someone about their ex and their dreams, you can be upset. That's cool. Yeah. But to all the women that feel that it is okay to slug them, to fight your significant other because of what they had in their dream, I'm just glad we not dating. I'm just saying. Listen, not listen. For real. Look, I don't support domestic violence and nothing like that with men or women. No, and please understand, Daily News does not hit females, but I will dog shake the shit out your ass if you wake up. You hit me over some damn. No, I'm just kidding. It's a joke. It's
shaking baby,
guys,
shaking baby syndrome. You gonna fuck somebody up that way too? What the
fuck? Oh man, it just
Florida. What are y'all doing down there in Florida, man? How did that make the news?
Because that's some everyday shit in Florida. As soon as you hear some shit that guess what happened in Florida, you might as well just
buckle.
You might as well be like, this is gonna be some shit right here. Hold on. Let me turn the TV on mute right quick. Make sure there ain't no other noise. Let me hear this shit, because this shit gonna be good.
Oh my God.
They crazy out there. Yeah, much love to them, but they crazy. I would not, if a motherfucker told me, if we was out one day and we got into a little bit of a scrap and a motherfucker told me they was from Florida, I'm good. You got that, bro. You got that, cuz I'm good.
That's all you got.
Already know he's crazy. That motherfucker be out in the club with motherfucking flip flops on and a robe. I'm good. That nigga from Florida. I got
that reminds me of an article I read where there was a guy in Florida that was getting terrorized by an alligator, so he captured it and then like had sex with the alligator, like was fucking the alligator. You know what I'm saying? And then they caught him for it. And like, and then when they asked him why he did it, he was like, it was revenge. And I ain't like I liked it. I just, you know what I'm saying? I was like, what the actual fuck was going on? Wow. Yeah, cuckoo is craziest shit I ever fucking heard.
Nope.
Google it.
Gator skin?
Google it. Good Lord. Fucking alligator. Google it. I guarantee you.
I am not putting man fucks alligator in my browser history. That's not what you think this is. Get me arrested or some shit. Arrested for bestiality. Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
The news rested for bestiality. Yeah, on that note, we want to thank all our listeners, man. Fan from Fan One to Dolly Baby and everyone else out there. Much love and appreciate you guys listening to us. Man, we're enjoying ourselves. We're enjoying this podcast. We're enjoying listening to you guys speaking, getting input, and everything like that. We appreciate you all.
Thank you guys for your comments. Thank you guys for listening in and showing love to us. We really appreciate it.
Most definitely. No matter if you're going to show some love or bring the smoke, we want it all.
Exactly. To our man's Duke and Mailman, hey, listen, I love you guys.
Love you guys, too.
Love y'all, too.
And I wish you guys nothing but success and happiness. And to all our listeners out there, keep dreaming. Take care.